This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Back in on the drive, coming up in about 15 minutes. Adam Schefter has an idea on how to handle the NFL draft. Plus, coming up at 4:30, we will be joined. We'll be doing People's Court coming up at 4:30. I have a question to ask you guys, and we need the people's advice. So we'll do that coming up at 4:30. But right now, we are very happy to be joined by Lawrence Smith. He is a Kansas City native and resident who tested positive for the coronavirus. Lawrence, really appreciate you coming on today. Let's start with this. How are you feeling?
I feel great. I feel like I'm in good health. I don't even have a cough right now, so yeah, I feel great.
So let's start from the very beginning. When did you start to maybe fear that you had the coronavirus?
Well, I went out of town back to back the last week of February into March, and then the week after that, I went to Atlanta. The last week of February into March, I went to Toronto. The week after that, I went to Atlanta, and the day that I came back from Atlanta, when I went to work, I felt kind of off, like I was tired. I felt like I had some chills, so I left work early, and I went and laid down, and that's when the symptoms just hit me like a wall.
So when you say the symptoms hit you, what symptoms hit you?
I went to the house, I laid down for a little bit, and it was like a wall. Like I was sweating like crazy. I had a headache, a fever. I was really hot, and then when I would get up, open the windows, I'd catch a chill. I felt like it was like the flu just amplified, like just times 10.
So when you say that you felt that you had the flu, I bet initially you took a lot of over-the-counter medicines. When did you think it was something more serious where you needed to go to the hospital?
Well, basically what happened was I took some ibuprofen for the headache, and I was taking some Theraflu, just trying to get some bed rest. I thought because of the fact that I was traveling back-to-back and then I had went out the country that maybe I was sick, but On the second day, I had woke up and my bed was just full of sweat, as if like somebody poured water on me. So it was so much, and I still had that fever, those chills. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna go to the hospital and just see if they'll give me any flu medicine for this. So I went to the hospital, and they tested me for the flu. They tested me for some other viruses and some other stuff, and they said everything came back negative. So the doctor said, you know, you might have COVID-19, we're not sure, but we're going to give you the number for this testing center, because at the time the hospital wasn't in fact testing people. There was a separate site for testing. So they gave me the testing center number. I contacted the testing center, and by this point, this was 3 days after I had initially had symptoms. So the third day I woke up, I was still in bed. I didn't have a fever. I was like, okay, you know, at this point in my mind, I'm like, maybe I did just have like a little virus or a little flu, a little bug. So I called the testing center. They didn't want to test me. They were asking me what my current symptoms were. I told them. They asked me what my previous symptoms were. I told them. They said I didn't have a sore throat. They said that I wasn't in any high-risk areas for COVID-19 and that I didn't have shortness of breath, so that I should be fine. So I was like, okay, you know, I guess I'm fine. So I tried to go back to work, and my job was they were like, you know, we understand what you're saying, but, you know, we want proof that you don't have it. Like, we want a letter, which is understandable because it's a highly contagious virus. So I went back up to the hospital. They were like, well, we don't have the letter. So they pointed me in the direction of the health department. The health department was like, call the testing center. The testing center was like, we don't provide letters like that. We just provide tests. So after a couple of days of that, going back and forth with the hospital, the health department, and the testing center, I went back up to the hospital, and I was like, you know what? at this point, you know, I can't work. So how about I just readmit myself and say that I have symptoms or something? And they were like, you know, well, we'll just test you, because the guidelines from the week before had changed because the virus was becoming so spreading so fast. So they wound up testing me on the 17th, that Tuesday. And I just found out on the 23rd that I was positive. And the crazy part was I don't have any symptoms at all.
Right now we're talking to Lawrence Smith. Lawrence Smith tested positive for COVID-19. Take us through the procedure to get tested for the virus.
So basically they take you into a quarantine area, and what they do is it's a nasal swab, but it's long. Like, it's a very long swab, and they stick it up one nostril and they push it up pretty far. Like, it's very uncomfortable, to the point where, like, when it comes out, your eyes are running and your nose is probably running too, but it's a very uncomfortable process.
What was your emotions when you found out that you had tested positive? Like, what are you going through? Certainly knowing that people are dying around the country from this, but you're in the age demographic that they say isn't really at risk for death. What's your emotions when you found out that you tested positive?
Well, to be honest, from initially getting tested, when the date that I got tested, I was doing a lot of research on it because there was a strong possibility that I did have it due to the symptoms that I had. So I really didn't feel any type of way, like in a negative aspect. The only thing that I was worried about was just the contact that I did have with the people around me, like, because it's so hard to remember everyone that you bumped into or that you've spoken to, or, you know, the things that you've touched. So that's really where my worries were. But me as a person, I really wasn't too worried, because I don't, like I said, I feel like I'm perfectly fine. I'm in great health. Like, I haven't had a cough. I haven't felt a fever. I haven't even had a headache in the past 2 weeks. So it was kind of like, you know, okay, I have it, but I'm going to get over this. So I think I'll be okay.
Going back to when you said you experienced symptoms, how long were your symptoms for, and when did you kind of get to the point where you were sick at one point to where you felt over it and you were perfectly healthy?
So I had about 48 hours of severe symptoms. And on the third day I woke up, I was kind of like, okay, I don't have a headache. I don't really feel the chills. I still felt a little tired. But, I mean, by the end of the third day, I felt like I was back to my normal self, as if, like, my immune system had snapped me back.
A couple more questions here for Lawrence Smith, who tested positive for COVID-19. What message would you like to tell other people right now about your experience with the virus?
I would say before I tested positive, I mean, obviously, the virus to me was serious, but it wasn't. It was more of a distant threat serious. Like, oh, they have the virus over there, it's serious, but, you know, we're okay. And I want people to understand it's very real. And the only reason that I know I'm positive for the virus is because my place of work was adamant about me returning with that note. Because on a hypothetical basis, if I was to have left the hospital and my job was like, okay, if you're good, you have nothing to worry about, I was carrying the virus and I would have never known, because I haven't been showing any symptoms since that initial 48 hours. So I want people to realize, like, just because you're not coughing or you're not on your deathbed doesn't mean that there's not a possibility that you could have it. You could be passing it on to your loved ones, and that someone could die from it.
Understanding that you're not a doctor, but you do have experience actually contracting the virus, what would you be advising people to do now during the stay-at-home order and over the next 10 to 14 days?
Just stay at home and wash your hands. A lot of people have been asking me questions about it, and I know as much as the doctors know. Like, they deemed me positive, they gave me a packet, and the packet really doesn't have any specific or direct information. Like, it's just saying, wash your hands, stay hydrated, get sleep, and just stay away from other people, because they can't test everyone. They don't have enough tests to physically test everyone. So just because you're not showing symptoms doesn't mean you don't have it. So please stay at home, wash your hands, hand sanitize, and don't go around a lot of people. Avoid as much contact with people as possible.
That is Lawrence Smith, who tested positive for COVID-19, to share his story and his experience. Lawrence, it was an honor to talk to you, man. I'm happy that you're doing well. Stay happy, stay healthy, my man.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that, man. I hope you guys do as well.
Coming up on the other side, Adam Schefter has a plan on how the NFL should do the NFL draft. I am firmly on the other side. We'll discuss it coming up. So drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
back in on the drive. Special thanks to Lawrence Smith for coming on the show, who tested positive for COVID-19. We're certainly going to try to do our part to give you guys as much education as we can about this very dangerous and very serious virus. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we will have a people's court. There is a new phenomenon going on in the wake of COVID-19. I want to get you guys' opinion on the new idea. We'll do that coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Speaking of ideas, Adam Schefter today went on ESPN's Get Up and suggested this idea when it comes to the NFL draft.
One team suggested to me yesterday that we could wind up renting a hotel room, a conference room in a hotel, so that we could have our war room there because we're not allowed in our facilities. There's lots of unknowns here about how this is going to work. The one thing we can say is the GMs don't want to have the draft when it is. They want it pushed back. The NFL wants the draft on the dates it has it and hasn't discussed moving it back at this point in time. And I would throw one other curveball in there. I'll give you my idea, Greeny.
Yeah.
Basically, how about having one round of the draft on every night? So we have 7 nights, 7 rounds. Basically, it's the Hanukkah of NFL drafts.
So that's Adam Schefter of ESPN throwing out his idea for the NFL draft.
Hanukkah's 8 nights. I'm not saying, just saying.
I feel like I've continued to be put in this situation, and I'm the only voice of reason in these scenarios. I want to again preface by saying that I love sports, and sports is a major part of my life. Are you that hung up for sports that you would sit in front of the television and watch just the 6th round of the NFL draft? I love the 1st round of the NFL draft. I'm in for the 2nd round of the draft. I'd watch the 3rd. I'm out after that point. I have no interest in watching the 4th, then coming around and then the 5th, and then coming around and then the 6th, and then coming around and watch the 7th. I'm not saying there's not a market for it. I'm not saying that some of you wouldn't love it. Binkley, he would be happy if they just did one day every day in the NFL offseason where they made selections. Binkley would love this idea, but come on now. Again, I miss sports as much as you guys do. We would have had March Madness. This was shaping up to be one of the more entertaining NBA playoffs. Tomorrow would have been opening day. Certainly good for this radio station for opening day to happen during our time slot. I miss sports too. But you guys can't tell me that we've gone without sports for this long that you would really be excited about watching the 7th round of the NFL draft on TV. No one wants this idea. Nobody.
I'd go 1 round past you. I think I could go to a party for the 1st round, 2nd round, 3rd round, and probably the 4th if there was good cheese dip and buffalo chicken tenders or something like that. But besides that, nah. I'm not doing the 5th, 6th, and the 7th. I do think that the NFL, though, wants the draft to go on because they understand exactly what you're talking about, how much people right now are jonesing for any type of sport. The NFL draft, it's been probably 10 years that it went from being a draft to an event. And then 3 or 4 years ago, it became a primetime event, a 2 or 3 day event. And then all of a sudden, a lot of people would come and watch it and actually plan vacations around it. I think that this year, more people would watch it on TV than ever because, let's just call it what it is, it's the closest thing to real sports going on right now and might be for a while. So it makes sense to me, I guess, that the NFL would want it to continue. They're in a weird spot, though, because you can't just draft players and not bring them in and interview them and test them like you would like to. So I get both sides. The GMs say, I don't know if I want to draft a player that I haven't completely vetted. But from the owner's perspective, which those guys are interested in the bottom dollar, I can't believe they don't just want this to go on as normal. They would make so much money because so many people would watch.
Can I read this text really quickly?
Yeah.
I just want to point this out.
Please.
Someone on the text line says, dude, Carrington, you're crazy. Give me a solid Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the 1st round, the 2nd and 3rd round, and then the 4th through 7th. I would watch. That's how the draft is now. Yes, I would watch that too. I have no problem with how they're doing it. They now do it on Thursday. It's just the 1st round of the NFL draft. They then have the 2nd and 3rd on a day. And then over the weekend, they do all the picks that none of us know the players. They just hurry up and wrap it up in a 3-hour span. So yes, I would watch the way the draft currently is put. I would watch it. None of you. And you don't have to tell this lie because you're sports deprived. would watch the seventh round alone of the NFL draft. If I go and look up last year's seventh round of the NFL draft and we play a very simple, have you heard of this person before? You're right. The draft is really fun when they're drafting players that I watched play in college football. That's actually when I like it the most. I watched Joe Burrow play. I watched Tua play. I watched Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. So I feel like I'm a little bit of a GM where I would say that's a really good value pick. I would take that. I love college football. I love the NFL. I don't know a whole lot of the guys that are getting drafted in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round. Maybe I should. Maybe I'm not doing my job enough. But come on now. None of you are that interested in the NFL draft that you would watch the fifth round of the draft that was a standalone product. No one would watch that.
You know how I know that those rounds don't matter? Because the NFL tells us as much. So how much time do you get between first round picks? It's like 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, it might be like 10, 8, and 5.
So you're going to pay a guy like $5 million a year, and you've got 5 or 6 minutes to decide if you want him to be a member of your team for the next 3 or 4 years. And the second round, it's a little bit less time than the third round. By the time they get to the fourth round, there's less time in the actual NFL draft than my fantasy football draft. And my fantasy football draft, I think we've got a full 60 seconds on the clock. Nobody ends up using it. I think they might, and I'm not making this up, I think they got like 30 seconds. Bengals, next. Bears, you're up. Next. Redskins, go. Vikings, we'll take this kicker. Like, those rounds of the draft go by really quick because, quite frankly, nobody cares.
Yeah, they don't even announce the picks. I feel like once you get to that third day of the NFL draft, it basically becomes NFL Live. And then they talk about all the selections that happen in the first, second, and third round of the NFL draft.
Which is what the whole draft's going to be this year from the first pick.
Which is, that's what I want it to be. Like, right now, the draft, the way that they've done it, is perfect. I didn't like the other way that they did it before. Now that they've made it faster, they put it on Thursday. I love the way that the draft is. That, again, I miss sports as much as everyone else. I don't miss it enough that I would watch the seventh round of the NFL draft by itself. I don't care if the Chiefs had 4 selections in the seventh round of the draft. All the information I need from that round of the NFL draft will be made available on Twitter. I'm sorry. I don't miss sports as much.
I do. I miss sports. I love sports. In fact, without sports, I'm just the machine, which is pretty much nobody. I think that the NFL is going to end up deciding to go with the draft as planned. Because they know that there's nothing else going on right now. And if you really think about the entire world and how everything's either slowed down or stopped, whether it's your job, your transportation, the food that you eat, pretty much every aspect of our lives has been slowed down, it feels like, except for the NFL so far. What have we been talking about? What has everybody been talking about? If you're a sports fan, you're talking about the NFL because their offseason has still been going on. Free agents, Tom Brady switched teams, Jameis is still out there, Cam Newton. Quite frankly, as the world has slowed down or stopped, the NFL is really the only thing that keeps going.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll have a brand new People's Court. I need you guys' help to clarify something that I have seen going around since the coronavirus has taken over the news cycle. I want to play this for you very quickly. This is Kevin Clark on the Ryan Russillo podcast. You have been very anti Phillip Rivers. I'm curious if this cut will change your mind.
The argument here is that any decline from Phillip Rivers was almost all situational, and guys trying to do too much is a common theme. Remember Daniel Jeremiah saying this about Patrick Mahomes, is that the reason that he thinks he missed on Mahomes was because Mahomes was making so many bad passes because he felt he always had to keep his team in it. And I think that we probably read too much and we think this is sort of baseball-y and everything happens in a vacuum. Guys trying to do too much is a very common thing for a lot of good quarterbacks, and that's the best argument for Rivers being better this year, being in a better situation, better receivers, better line, better coaching staff.
I actually buy that explanation when it comes to Phillip Rivers. Last year, the uncertainty with Melvin Gordon, their offensive line situation, I think that Rivers was constantly playing from behind, constantly playing on the run, and I think Rivers is one of those players that is always going to take chances down the field with his arm. If he feels like he can make a 10-point play on one throw, that Rivers is going to do that. I do think he'll be put in a much different situation. The offensive line and their running game we saw here in Kansas City is a much different situation than it is in Los Angeles. I actually think the Colts make a lot of sense with Rivers, and you play that game. You play half of your games indoors, and then you're in the AFC South, so you play in Houston, Jacksonville, some of your road games. I think that the Colts are a really, really smart destination for Rivers.
I think Phillip Rivers is a 37-year-old quarterback that threw 25 touchdowns and 23 interceptions last year, and he's washed up. And that was an offense that had Melvin Gordon, at least for a period of time, and Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen. It's not like they were without weapons. He's washed up. He's done. He's old. The fact that he was there for 1 year makes a lot of sense. Like, if you have to lock up Tom Brady for 2 years or Rivers for 1, then it makes sense if you're not, if that, that guy's not part of your long-term plan. But if you ask me who's going to have more success this year with their new team, Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady, it's Tom Brady, and it's not even close.
Speaking of Phillip Rivers, here is the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay.
When we played him last year, Frank Reich told him, he said, "My God, Phillips, you know, you missed one throw the whole game." You know, I believe Phillip is a young 38. We see guys like Drew Brees now and Tom Brady playing on, you know, and doing great things after 40. You know, it won't even be until 2021 December when Phillip hits 40.
Now, I have never played in the NFL. I did not play football at a high level. But I have watched football for a very long time. And I find it hard to believe someone who has been a starting quarterback in the NFL from 2006 when I graduated high school up until this season and has started every single game. So that's 224 starts consecutively can be a young 38. I refuse to believe that's the case. Maybe your kicker can be a young 38. I refuse to believe your quarterback can be a young 38. So that's not what they're getting. I understand that Irsay's got to put a little bit of sauce on it. He's got to sprinkle some paprika on it. But Phillip Rivers, I assure you, is not a young 38 because that doesn't exist if you play in the NFL.
Phillip Rivers beat KU in a bowl game 18 years ago. That's the first time that I was introduced to Phillip Rivers. It's been 18 years, and we can have the Hall of Famer debate or not. He certainly had a great career, but at this point, $25 million, yeah, I'm good.
Coming up, I have a People's Court. We need four callers, 913-576-7610. There is a new trend that's happening right now because of the coronavirus. I need to ask and get your opinion. We'll do a People's Court coming up. So drive.
Drive 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on the drive. Thank you so much for listening. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. And if you missed it, Frank Martin was on the show earlier today. We will have him join us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. So we still have an open phone line, 913-576-7610. We will do a People's Court. There is a new trend going around since we all have to social distance. I want to ask you guys your opinion on it coming up in just a little bit.
But before we step into the People's Courtroom, see that earlier today you played Joe Buck doing play-by-play essentially of normal people's lives because there's no play-by-play of sports going on right now because there is no sports. And you posed the question, if somebody had to do the play-by-play of our lives, who would we choose to do it? I said Gus Johnson. Who did you say?
Bob Davis.
I'm telling you,
Royals Bob Davis was special. Royals Bob Davis had a way of making a normal flyout from Mark Tian feel like he hit a grand slam. I always loved Bob Davis.
Well, Jayhawks Bob Davis is great too. Swish! I got a surprise for you here. Bob Davis joins us on 610 Sports Radio. How you doing, Bob?
Hi, boys. How are you? Are you keeping your six-foot interval?
The best we can, Bob. Were you surprised to hear that Carrington Harrison, an MU guy through and through, decided that Bob Davis would be the voice of his life?
Well, I think that's very flattering, particularly a guy like that. That would be such a great subject to cover. You know, it would be excitement all the way and timely and, you know, it'd be kind of the cutting-edge kind of stuff that sports announcers are looking for.
Just not a lot of made baskets with CDOT. That's the only issue. Bob, real quick, take us back to the national championship game. KU was down by, it was 9, I believe, with 2:12 left. Was there a point in that game that you thought that KU was not going to end up winning?
Oh, certainly. Things weren't going very well there for a while, but then they kind of turned and Memphis missed some free throws. It's strange you bring up that subject. That was played on television the other night, and I watched it and, of course, enjoyed it. Watched a few other past classic games that were on. It's a different feeling when you watch those games when you know how they're going to come out. But, you know, the Mario Chalmers shot will be one of my great memories of all time, certainly, and just a classic NCAA game. Boy, March has really been different, hasn't it?
No question about it. Was it one of those things when Mario took the shot, Bob, that you knew it was going in right away?
I don't know if that had occurred to me or not. I was just hoping he did a good shot, and he did when it went in. You know, the whole outlook, certainly from Kansas' standpoint, changed. And I know they had to go the other direction for Memphis. What a downer! Even though you know it went into overtime, it wasn't a victory shot, but it certainly helped. And I just thought it was for a Kansas fan, and of course they play it before every home game for the last several years. It still draws some excitement and. That's what sports does, and I think we've all really missed it this month.
No, we certainly have. Right now we're talking to legendary broadcaster Bob Davis. Bob, I'll get you out of here with this. I've always wanted to ask you this question. You had the best seat in the house for the final MUKU game. Thomas Robinson fouled Pressey, right?
No, you saw it. He didn't foul Pressey. What happened, Bob?
Well, I looked at it that way. I thought, you know, that was a tough call either way, but it was a great game and maybe an appropriate game in that series. I miss the Kansas-Missouri series. I got to tell you that. That was one of the great rivalries in college sports and, you know, had history behind it back to the Civil War. And, you know, I was sorry Missouri left to go to the SEC at the time, but I know they did what they thought was a good thing for their future and possible conference affiliations. But how can you be a fan in this part of the country of college sports and not miss KU Mizzou.
Bob, speaking for KU fans and probably some MU fans out there listening and certainly all Royals baseball fans, we miss your voice as well, sir. Take care of yourself. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for calling. It's good to touch base with you. Tag up, as they say.
Will do, sir. The great Bob Davis on 610 Sports Radio, back on 610 Sports Radio.
I told you, I've met a lot of people in this profession, a lot of really kind people who certainly have been really nice to me. The two nicest people I've ever met are Rex Hudler and Bob Davis. The time I met him, I was like Nick's intern, Steele. He talked to me like I had been working there for 10 years. He was really friendly. We had a really good conversation. I've only met him twice, but always had a lot of respect for Bob Davis. Hopefully he's doing well. Certainly was an honor to talk to him. See? KU fans, we got to get some credit here because last week when we were having Jayhawk killers on the show, everybody was so angry. Now we've had Jayhawk legends. We've had Bob Davis on the show this
Swish.
Week. We had Cole Aldridge on the show this week. KU fans ain't noticing and ain't paying attention. March Gladness is not only about celebrating Jayhawk tears. It's about celebrating Jayhawk heights, too. You guys have had some success in March. Not as much as Duke, not as much as North Carolina, not as much as Kentucky, but you guys have done well in March. You've done all right.
Would you say as much as Missouri?
No, they've had more success than Missouri.
Okay,
no, they've certainly had much more success than the University of Missouri when it comes to March. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We have one more open phone line, 913-576-7610. I have a people's court question to ask you guys. Hit it, Rob.
There's a dispute and we need you to settle it. It's the people's court.
All right, this is the question I want to ask you guys.
Yes.
I didn't know this existed until yesterday. You call yourself the king of first dates, right, Sean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rob, you're a young single man, right?
Yeah.
So there is a new phenomenon based on this era of social distancing, right?
Well, what is it?
Where people on Tinder or Bumble or Hinge or however you meet young ladies now digitally, they are having a conversation. Men are Venmoing or Cash Apping young ladies' money so they can order food. They are ordering food themselves, and they are eating at the same time and talking over FaceTime. Is this smart or being a sucker? Because maybe it's been a while since I've been in the dating game, you know? But I felt like in a date, you had to be there in the same place. And I thought part of eating the dinner was to eat the dinner at the same time together where you can share conversation. Now, if she wants to go in the fridge and heat up a pizza or pop some popcorn and that's the food that we have during the quarantine date, sure. But you think I'm about to Venmo you $25 so now you can get some takeout and then I pay for my own meal and then we reconvene at a later time and then we eat at the same time and then talk while we're eating our meal? I want to know from you, king of first dates, is that being smart given the current situation, or are you being a sucker in this current situation?
You're being a sucker, and I don't even understand the concept of this, so walk me through this. Normal Bumble, you match up with a girl, you guys connect, you're not supposed to meet up because of the coronavirus and the whole 6 feet thing and all of that, and you send her money.
You send her money for carryout. Or you order the carryout.
Why do y'all have to eat the same food? Why doesn't she make her food or order her food? You make her order your food. I understand on a normal date you guys would have food from the same restaurant, but this is not a normal date. These are unprecedented times. I don't get that part. You're a sucker if you're sending her money. Also, it's one thing on a first date if you're old-fashioned, right? So if you think that you should stop at second base, I got no problem with that. Maybe you're a guy, you know, maybe a little bit more advanced. You think third base is okay on a first date. I'm cool with that. But if you have zero possibility of getting to first base, which the way that I understand it, on Bumble, you have a zero possibility of getting to first base. Unless I'm missing something here, hit me up on the text line, 69306. Then you're an absolute sucker. You're spending money with no opportunity for anything. You're getting her dinner with no chance of dessert, if you know what I'm saying. You're an absolute sucker.
So text line 69306, before we get Rob's opinion and go to the phone lines, we're doing a people court. There is a new phenomenon going on, which is called a quarantine date. What men are doing is they are sending women money on the Cash App for takeout. They are ordering food and they are eating dinner virtually together. Now, Sean, I'm a little bit surprised. I thought you'd be in favor of this. Normally, Mr. $150 Winer and Diner, this is a chance for you to get out of this for about $30, $40 and start planting the seed of going on a real date once the stay-at-home order is lifted.
You think I'm clinking my glass of wine up against the phone, up against my iPhone camera, like I'm in prison putting my fist up to my cousin? No.
Okay. All right. So you're going with this as a sucker move.
Yes.
All right. Rob, you're newly single. You're back in town.
Back in
you
the game.
You seem like somebody who would go on one of these quarantine dates. Are you saying that this is a smart move? Or is it a sucker move?
This is some foolishness. This is absolutely a sucker move. This is ridiculous. A, you don't know that she's spending your Venmo money on her takeout. What's stopping her from being like, yeah, I Venmo'd some Capital Grill. It's going to be 50 on my end and heating up a pizza. You just gave her 50 bucks for no rhyme or reason. Two.
I'd be so pissed if she did that.
Oh, yeah,
if I thought I was buying her a steak and she was sitting at home eating a Papa Murphy's or something. Papa Murphy's actually all right. Tostino's.
There's I'd be no pissed. Way to stop her. You give her the money. She's like, yeah, I'll go to Capital Grill. She can do whatever she wants with that money. And two, I get your point about laying the seeds for a future endeavor. This is her laying the seeds for getting cash. I'm not playing that game.
Ain't no seeds being laid. You're not going to meet her.
So you're going sucker move.
Big time sucker move.
Rob, you're going sucker move.
Yeah, sucker move.
Text line 69306. Are we considering this to be a sucker move? Or a smart move? It's one of the two. A smart move. Ryan. You've heard the scenario. Which is this, smart or a sucker move?
I mean, I got to agree with you guys. It's a sucker move all the way. You know, if you want to eat together and have a virtual date or whatever, she can buy her own food, get what she wants, but it's not just going to Venmo some rando, you know, $30 so that we can FaceTime and eat food at the same time. You know, if you want to wait until after the quarantine's over and all that, just talk to her. But I'm not spending some rando $30 so that I can buy her a meal. We can FaceTime over it. No thanks.
I appreciate the phone call. Ryan says it's a sucker move. Right now, it's a unanimous sucker move from you guys.
Ryan needs to take that $30 and put it toward a new phone. Sounds like you borrowed Zach Morris's or Terrence Paylor's phone.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Trey, you've heard the scenario. These quarantine dates, are you calling these smart plays or is it a sucker move?
I mean, to be honest with you guys, I can see both sides, but, you know, the world today is a bunch of, you know, internet-based things, so I'm going to have to say it's a smart move because it could be a catfish.
Trey said it's smart. Trey said he's for it.
You ever been catfished?
No, I've never been catfished before.
Me either, but something tells me that if you got catfished once, you're really hesitant to put that foot back in the water. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
That's one of those things that happens one time. You're expecting a girl to show up, and that's not quite what happens. Like, that'll make you rethink things.
Text line 69306.
I heard.
So I am posing this question. I was introduced to this concept of quarantine dating. So what is happening is men are on the Cash App, on the Venmo, on the PayPal.
And are those? You went on one?
Sending young lady. No, I was not. Someone told me. A friend told me about this.
Did you go on one?
I can show you the thing where the person told me that this happened, where I decided we should talk about this on the radio show. What part of me do you think I'm sending a girl I've never met before money on
shocked.
Venmo or the Cash App?
I was stunned. I couldn't believe it.
If anything, what we should be doing is we should be pretending to be girls on Tinder, falling for suckers like Trey, and then blocking them immediately.
That is catfishing.
That's what we need
to
do.
That's the definition of catfishing. That's exactly what I was talking about two minutes ago.
I'd be out here trying to do the bait and
switch.
People
like you.
And I'd be out here trying to catch suckers when it comes to this. You a sucker if you do this. All right, Jake, which would you call this? Is this a smart play or a sucker move?
Well, you kind of stole my thunder because I was going to suggest what you just talked about, but it's definitely a sucker move. I mean, maybe Levine could find a nice 60-year-old woman and she could Venmo him cash, and he could go out and buy his Totino's pizza and do all this stuff, but it's complete sucker move. No opportunity for you. Just stay at home, watch some NFL on the game day pass, and just go for it, man.
I appreciate the phone call. This is the thing.
Why she got to be in her 60s? Nothing wrong with ladies in their 60s. Why she got to be in her 60s, though?
This is the thing that I don't really understand about the concept of it for
anyone
that would do this.
Because I got the app set from 18 to 81? Doesn't mean she's necessarily in her 60s.
I don't know if I would go on the FaceTime date with a 60-year-old. Something tells me she's worse with technology than you are, but she obviously figured out how to fire up the FaceTime.
Get Venmo.
So she might be good at it. She might be good at it. This is my thing, though. This is my thing. Why would you not, at least in this scenario, you can just get something to drink, right? Like, you got stuff to drink at your house. She's got something to drink at her house. Why can't you have a virtual happy hour? You know, you go in the refrigerator, you grab a beer, she goes in her wine closet, she gets a glass of wine, and then you sit there with FaceTime and you have the conversation. Do you really got to send her money to go on this date with her? Like, do you really have, in order for the date to happen, do you have to send her money in order for her to agree to FaceTime you and eat dinner? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me in this scenario why you would do this. There's nothing at her house that you guys can come up with that you could do at the exact same time here. I don't get it. I legitimately don't understand why anyone would do this. But I'm here telling you, I have proof that this has happened. Proof. I know people that have participated in this. And I'm here telling you it is sucker behavior. Big time sucker behavior.
Have you seen that quarantine chug group on Facebook that everybody's joining?
Yeah, the quarantine beer chug.
You part of that?
I'm not.
Well, it seems like it's worthwhile because, well, there's a lot of beers to be chugged right now. I mean, honestly,
Bink probably started that.
I think it did start here in Kansas City.
Bink probably started
it. I don't know if Binkley started it, but I do believe that it started in the 816 or the 913, maybe the 785, but it started in the general vicinity of our listening audience, and I'm 93% sure that I'm telling the truth right now.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little bit surprised you wouldn't do this. I'm a little bit surprised.
What, join the beer chugging group?
No, I'm a little bit surprised you wouldn't send her the $25 on the Cash App. I'm a little surprised.
No, I'm good.
Okay, I'm a little surprised. It just seems cheaper. And you were big on, you got to wine and dine and show her you got the paper.
I like my loving, but not virtually.
If you want to, I mean, if you really want to wine and dine in this climate, send her $100 on the Cash App. That might have greater return than $150 at Tana Wine Bar. If you really want to show that you're a big baller in these times, send her $100 on a Venmo.
Do you understand the difference here? Let me explain something to you, Carrington. One of the situations, I'm physically with the lady. And you can make fun and say I spent too much and shouldn't have got her the steak medallions and I was a sucker for getting her Uber home and all that stuff. Fine, but guess what? I spent the night with an actual lady. You're suggesting that I spend the night with my cell phone with a lady inside of it and then I Venmo her money so she can eat the same thing that I'm eating at the same time? No. I'm not saying that I spend my money wisely. I don't spend my money this poorly.
Let's go back to the phone lines. I really want to hear what Big T has to say about this. Big T.
So I'm cracking up here, man. So hear me out. I think this is a move by since the virus and everybody's out of work by a bunch of out-of-work strippers coming up with some scam. So it's a total sucker move, and the saps are falling for it. You're just pathetic. But it's smart on the strippers to do this, but a sap move on the guy to actually go through with it. Go sports. Choo-choo!
I appreciate it. That's Big T.
No go Chiefs, no go Royals, no go Jayhawks. Just a go sports from Big T. I hear that.
Someone on the text line said, CDOT, there's no guy in Hutchinson, Kansas falling for that. We're all smarter than that. If there's any place right now I would be targeting for this scheme, it would be Hutchinson, Kansas.
Will you leave Hutchinson out of this?
I don't have any issues with Hutchinson.
And all the surrounding areas? Please?
I don't have any issues with Hutchinson, Kansas.
You got a problem with Mulvane?
My only issue was you said that right now it's like living in Hutchinson, Kansas. And I'm just here telling you, it ain't that bad. That's all I'm saying is it's bad right now. It's as bad as I've ever seen in Kansas City, Missouri. It ain't never going to be as bad as right now if we lived in Hutchinson, Kansas. You think they got a Chick-fil-A?
Guaranteed.
You think they got a Gojo's you can get the takeout right now?
Probably not.
No, they ain't got that. They got right now, the only places you can eat right now in Hutchinson are Taco Bell and McDonald's. The only places you're eating right now. And then Applebee's is doing to-go orders. That's the only place you're eating right now in Hutchinson. You're absolutely miserable.
Bar and Independence, Turbos, or whatever Coach Brown was hitting up every night on Last Chance U.
You're absolutely miserable right now. And then they say social distancing, but the only place to hang out basically is the grocery store anyway. So the whole town is just at the local Piggly Wiggly right now. It's miserable. The Rona's going everywhere.
You're talking about Hutchinson like it's DeSoto. And I love DeSoto. I thought
they're
about living in DeSoto.
They're cousins.
Right between Kansas City and Lawrence, I would love to live in DeSoto. They are not cousins.
No,
okay?
they're cousins.
As a guy that once went to the state fair, maybe it's in Hutchinson. Did that happen? Am I making that up? I think I once went to the state fair in Hutchinson. It's a mighty fine place with mighty fine people.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Last one on this, Jayhawk Shug. All right, Jayhawk Shug. So these special quarantine dates, are you calling these smart moves or sucker plays?
Definitely, as far as a quarantine date with a rando, sucker move. However, if you're a married guy and say you got stuck in, like, Iowa and your wife is in Kansas City and you did something like that, I think that it could score you some points as far as some of that, you know, separation, loving once y'all get back together. But a rando, sucker move. And, oh, Sean, you are spending way too much on your first date.
Thanks for throwing that in there.
Preach to him,
I needed that. Thank you.
Preach to him.
This just came from a man who said it's unacceptable, unless, of course, you're in a different state without your wife, and then it's perfectly acceptable to do this. So I love me some Jayhawk Shug, but come on, man. That's who you're listening to? That's what you're listening to? He said if you're in Iowa and your old lady's in Nebraska, go ahead and hit up the Tinder date.
He said trapped in Iowa, which sounds like the beginning of a horror movie. Trapped in Iowa sounds like my absolute worst nightmare.
Iowa or Hutch?
Basically,
you have to let's play the game. Choose one.
Iowa is Big Hutchinson. Like right now, would I rather be Des Moines, Iowa, or Hutchinson, Kansas? I'll be in Des Moines. But if you're telling me just random, so I basically just spin the wheel and I get any city in Iowa, there's a 97% chance that I am in Hutchinson, Kansas.
No, you could be in Iowa City, which is one of the best college towns out there. You could be in Ames. You could be in Council Bluffs.
But the part of being in a college town is the college students. There ain't no college students right now. So you know what Iowa City is?
What?
Hutchinson, Kansas. That's what Iowa City is right now. It's Hutchinson, Kansas. Now, yeah, maybe in August, it's a lot better than Hutchinson, Kansas. Maybe on a nice, crisp fall Saturday in November, it's a lot better than Hutchinson, Kansas. Right now, during the Rona, you know what Iowa City is? Parsons, Kansas, which sounds absolutely miserable. No one would want to go there.
When I went to Iowa City, I was meeting up with a couple of girls. It's like 15 years ago. And she kept telling me that she was going out to the Union. And I was like, and I had a couple buddies with me. We were in town for we were in town for a KU Iowa State game, and I convinced the guys with me to make the like 2.5-3 hour drive from Ames to Iowa City. But anyway, as the story goes, she kept saying that they were at a place called the Union. And I was like, that doesn't sound fun at all. The Union.
Is that in Topeka?
No.
Okay.
You should listen to the story.
My bad.
It's in Iowa City.
I'm saying I've been to a place called the Union in Topeka. That's why I got confused for a second.
Was it a bar?
Yeah.
Well, then maybe it's a chain. Maybe
it
is.
Yeah, I apologize.
Anyway, so you know where the story's going. I thought they were at the student union. They were at a bar called the Union, and it's one of the most badass bars I've ever been to. So next time somebody says the Union, you better check if it's a student union or if it's a bar. End of story. I don't know if it's a chain, though. You've been to, where was it at? Topeka?
Yeah, there was some place in Topeka. I'm pretty sure I went. It's called the Union.
You went to Blind Tiger in Topeka. You wouldn't know Union in Topeka.
I don't know. Is that a strip club? I don't know what the Blind Tiger is.
No, there is. I think it's called Baby Dolls, the name of the strip club out there. Somebody told me. But no, the Blind Tiger is a bar and grill. It's phenomenal.
Okay.
One of two things to do in Topeka if you don't go to the Capitol building.
I'm just here to tell you that something has gone terribly wrong in my life if that's where I am.
Topeka?
I'm not both Topeka and the Blind Tiger. I'm here to tell you that something has gone terrible.
Do you like anything or anybody? What is your problem? You got a problem with the Blind Tiger, Topeka, and Hutchinson, and Iowa?
I'll support Topeka.
Why are you such an angry person?
Sucks. No, I'm not an angry person.
Topeka
I'm just saying
does not
is
suck.
You haven't really named any cool place. As someone who, you will be, the moment this Rona is over, you will be on the first Spirit Corona flight to Vegas
guaranteed.
For however much they tell you.
Guaranteed.
Because you like cool places.
I do.
Vegas is a cool place.
It is.
Lawrence is a cool
Very
place.
Very cool.
Once you get past Lawrence, there's not much cool in Kansas. There's not much cool. Manhattan's cool. That's really about it until you hit Denver, Colorado.
Yo, between Lawrence and Manhattan and Manhattan and Denver.
That's what I'm saying.
A lot of nothing.
There is 6 hours of not cool in
not
Kansas.
A lot.
I'm sure there's great people. None of those people, no one listening, and maybe there's one person listening right now on the radio.com app that lives in Hayes, Kansas, is like, you know where I live? A cool place. That's not where they live. I happen to think that I live in a cool place. I'm not saying it's the coolest place by any means, but Kansas City is a cool place.
Yeah, spoken like a man who's never partied at Fort Hayes State University. That's a great time. You got a problem with Hayes, too?
Okay.
You are such a bitter individual these days.
Text line is saying there's a person in Garden City. All the bars and restaurants are open, and there's zero COVID in town.
Well, it's coming, believe me. If you've been watching the news, my friend, it's coming.
Hayes is dope, man. Hayes is a good time.
Okay. Hayes is dope. It's a good time.
It is.
You made it sound like Bourbon Street. You made it sound like Beale Street.
No.
You know what it's not?
Either one of those.
A cool place.
Yes, it is.
It's the opposite of cool. Coming up, we get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. And earlier today, we had Frank Martin on the show. We'll play that for you. Coming up, it's The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.